Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
That eternal kingdom which is never destroyed can be approached by one who is not bewildered by the attractions of false material enjoyments, who is situated in the service of the Supreme Lord. One so situated can easily approach that supreme abode. Elsewhere in the Gita 8:21 it is stated, Avyaktokshara it yuktas tam ahu paramam gatim. Yam prapya nanivartante tad dhamma paramam mama. Avyakta means unmanifested. Not even all of the material world is manifested before us. Our senses are so imperfect that we cannot see all of the stars within this material universe. In the Vedic literature, we can receive much more information about all the planets. And we can believe it or not believe it. All of the important planets are described in the Vedic literatures, especially Srimad Bhagavatam. But the spiritual world, which is beyond this material sky, is described as avyakta, unmanifested. That is param gatim. One should desire and hanker after that supreme kingdom. For when one attains that kingdom, he does not have to return to this material world. Right. So this material world, even though it's manifested, but not all of it's manifested. So, let alone the spiritual world, which we won't be able to see at all from here. So that then is attained by someone who is not attracted by the material world. Someone who's not attracted, who serves Krishna, they go to the spiritual world. Next, one may raise the question of how one goes about approaching the abode of the Supreme Lord. Information of this is given in the 8th chapter, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. It is stated there, Antakale chamam eva smaran muktva kalevaram yaf prayati samadbhavam yati nashyatra samshaya. And whoever at the end of his life quits his body remembering me, alone, at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. Right? So Krishna mentions, he doesn't say one who remembers me, but one who remembers me alone. Because otherwise we may remember Krishna and at the same time think about our family, our business, our grandmother, you know, so many things like this. So then the point will be is, what is that, whatever else you're thinking of, then you go there. Right? Because thinking of Krishna then means him, that it's just him, his pastimes, his devotees, not something else. Right? So that's it. So one who's connected to Krishna like that, they'll go. So one should make sure is that when one's leaving, don't worry about anything else. It went on before we were here. It's going on now, despite whatever we try to do to control it. It still does whatever it likes. And it will go on after we leave. Right? It's not going to change. So we don't have to worry about this, that, and the other thing. So the point is, therefore, at the end of life, when you quit the body, you think of Krishna, just think of him. He'll take care of everything else. He's God. He can do that kind of stuff. He's, you know, quite qualified. He's generally pretty good. Bhagavad Gita 8.5. One who thinks of Krishna at the time of his death goes to Krishna. One must remember the form of Krishna. If he quits his body thinking of this form, he surely approaches the spiritual kingdom. Because otherwise, it's just he's great, he's powerful, he's the creator. These are all still your Brahman level, or at, you know, Maxim Paramatma. But so one has to think of the form, right? Because that's the point. The spiritual planets, they have form, all the activities. So one thinks of the form of Krishna, then one will go to Krishna. Right? Madbhavam refers to the supreme nature of the Supreme Being. The Supreme Being is Satchit Ananda Vigraha. That is, his form is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. Our present is not Satchit Ananda. It is Asat, not Sat. It is not eternal. It is perishable. It is not Chit, full of knowledge, but is full of ignorance. We have no knowledge of the spiritual kingdom, nor do we even have perfect knowledge of this material world. There are so many things unknown to us. This body is also nirananda. Instead of being full of bliss, it is full of misery. All of the miseries we experience in the material world arise from the body. But one who leaves this body thinking of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at once attains a Satchit Ananda body. The process of quitting this body and getting another body in the material world is also organized. A man dies after it's been decided what form of body he will have in the next life. That's why sometimes people go into comas before they die, because they're still trying to calculate what would be the next form, like that. So there's something not right there, and so then they have to do extra time for calculation, like that.
Suspended animation.
Yes, suspended animation, yeah, like that. Yes. Could be they're not decided. You know, one would have to see. But the main point here is that you think of Krishna at the time of death, then you can enter the spiritual kingdom. Now, because we have described that and touched on this topic, then also the changing of body. So we're changing from the material to spiritual. Since it hasn't been discussed, now we discuss material to material. Right? Does that make sense? And so just as a side point, we brought that up. Because it says, a man dies after it's been decided what form of body he will have in the next life. So then, you know, maybe they're not focused enough or something. Does that make sense? Higher authorities, not the living entity himself, make this decision. According to our activities in this life, we will either rise or sink. This life is a preparation for the next life. If we can prepare, therefore, in this life, to get promotion to the kingdom of God, then surely, after quitting this material body, we will attain a spiritual body just like the Lord's. Right? So it's whatever you do this life is going to affect next life, right, in karma. So material things you do here, that'll be what'll be in the next life. So if you do spiritual activities, then that will prepare one for a spiritual, situation in the next life. Does that make sense? You know, the process is pretty straightforward. You know, it's just a matter of committing to it. As explained before, there are different kinds of transcendentalists. The Brahmavadi, Paramatmavadi, and the devotee. And, as mentioned in the Brahma Jyoti, spiritual sky, there are innumerable spiritual planets. The number of these planets is far, far greater than all of the universes of this material world. This, you know, it's not just planets. I mean, of course, it's more than the planets, but we're talking about more than the universes, right? You have your universes, and it's more than them. Right? There's unlimited universes, but the spiritual planets are much more than that. The material world is one quarter of the creation. Ekam Shena Stito Jagat. In this material segment, there are millions and billions of universes with trillions of planets and suns, stars and moons. But this whole material creation is only one-fourth of the total creation. The three-fourths manifestation is in the spiritual sky. One who desires to merge into the existence of the Supreme Brahman is at once transferred to the Brahma-jyoti of the Supreme Lord, and thus attains the spiritual sky. Madbhavam means the Brahma-jyoti as well as the spiritual planets in the Brahma-jyoti. The devotee who wants to enjoy the association of the Lord enters into the Vaikuntha planets, which are innumerable, and the Supreme Lord by his plenary expansions as Narayana, with four hands and with different names like Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Govinda. And Govinda associates with him there. Therefore, at the end of life, the transcendentalists think of either the Brahma-jyoti, the Paramatma, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. In all cases, they enter into the spiritual sky, but only the devotee, or he who is in personal touch with the Supreme Lord, enters into the Vaikuntha planets, or the Goloka Vrindavan planet. The Lord further adds that of this, quote, "There is no doubt. One should not disbelieve. We should not reject that which does not tally with our imagination. That is not the process of Bhagavad Gita reading." Right? Because we already established that before, is that if you want to understand the philosophy and process that's here in the Gita, then you have to accept it as it is. And that, you know, even just theoretically, then it will make some sense. But otherwise, if there's a doubt of its correctness, then it will never be understood. If you accept that it's correct, then you'll be able to understand the technicalities. See, because the technicalities are hard enough to understand, let alone if you doubt them. You understand? So it's only when you don't doubt them, then one will be able to perceive them properly. Our attitude should be that of Arjuna. I believe everything that you have said. Therefore, when the Lord says that at the time of death, whoever thinks of him as Paramatma or Brahman or Paramatma, or as the personality of Godhead, certainly enters into the spiritual sky. There is no doubt about it. There is no question of disbelieving it. So this moved on to the last point of entering into the spiritual world. And so then in doing that, then he's also shown how the transfer of the body happens. It's happening because of higher authorities. And then we see that then the difference between the spiritual planets and the material universes are explained. And that must be the proper understanding. Because if you think of the Lord, you take shelter of the Lord, then you'll go there. You don't take shelter of the Lord, then why you'd go there? Wherever you take shelter, that's where you go. Right? If you're sitting out in a pond, and there's a boat on one side and the dock on the other, so it's whichever you take shelter of, that's where you'll end up. You understand? So you make your choice. So now he's reiterating the points that were made previously about how the understanding of the Gita, that it's the Vedic knowledge being above all doubts and mistakes is the essence of all the Vedic knowledge. So then what it's presenting should be accepted. Right? So that is then coming from there, and then that's the spirit. That one should understand, you know, accept Krishna as the Lord. Only by devotional service can one come to these understanding of Bhagavad Gita. And therefore, in that mood of devotion, then it should be taken up. Then, understanding that the Gita through the process that it's not fallible, then when we'll... So that's being reiterated here because it's been quite some time since that was studied, because that's the third topic. We're on the sixth topic. And then... So by bringing that out, then it brings it all together. Otherwise, there's a difficulty is that if it's not brought out, that one may forget and one may start to have doubts again. So it has to be brought up again about the position of Bhagavad Gita and the mood in which it's approached. The Bhagavad Gita 8.6 also explains the general principle that makes it possible to enter the spiritual kingdom simply by thinking of the Supreme at the time of death. Yam yam vapi smarad bhavam chyajat yante kalevaram tam tam evaiti konteya saratad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever state of being one remembers when one quits his present body, in his next life he will attain to that state without fail. Right, so here we notice that he's the yam yam and tam tam is he's making that point is that's the way it is. Anything that's doubled, you know, according to the Vedic standard, anything that you repeat means it's important. Right? Sometimes you think, well, why put both of these? Because it's making it very, very clear that this is what happens. Right? Krishna's not saying, you know, this is a possibility, sometimes it happens. He's just saying, this is the way it is. Whatever you remember at the time of death, that's where you'll go. So he's making that here clear. Now first we must understand that material nature is a display of one of the energies of the Supreme Lord. In the Vishnu Purana 6761, the total energies of the Lord are summarized. Vishnu Shakti para propta kshetra gyakhya tata para avidya karma samgyanya Tritiya Shaktir Ishyate. The Supreme Lord has diverse and innumerable energies which are beyond our conception. However, great learned sages or liberated souls have studied these energies and have summarized them into three parts or into three headings. All of the energies are of Vishnu Shakti. That is to say, they are different potencies of Lord Vishnu. The first energy is para, transcendental. Living entities, kshetragya, also belong to the superior energy, as has already been explained. The other energies, or material energies, are in the mode of ignorance. At the time of death, either we can remain in the inferior energy of this material world, or we can transfer to the spiritual world. So the Bhagavad Gita 8.6 says, Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam chyajant yante kalevaram tam tam evaiti konteya saratad bhava bhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his present body, in his next life he will attain to that state without fail. In life, we are accustomed to thinking either of this material or either of the material or of the spiritual energy. Now, how can we transfer our thoughts from the material energy to the spiritual energy? So for thinking in the spiritual energy, the Vedic literatures are there. Just like there are so many literatures which fill our thoughts with material energy, newspapers, magazines, novels, etc. Our thinking is now absorbed in these literatures. Similarly, if we want to transfer our thinking to the spiritual atmosphere, then we have to transfer our reading capacity to the Vedic literatures. Right? The learned sages, therefore, have written so many Vedic literatures, such as the Puranas. The Puranas are not stories. They are historical records. Right? So that's, unfortunately, that may not be popular in the modern academic circle, because they try to say that they're all, you know, analogies, they're just stories. But no, they're actually what's going on. These are different parts that are there. If it's an analogy, it'll be presented as one. Okay. So in other words, we have reading ability, and from that we're being exposed to the material literature. From that, then the samskaras that develop in the mind, then it will be mundane. Right? Unless in that process you're connecting to the Lord. But that will only happen if you transfer the reading process to the spiritual literature. Having transferred it there, then if one does come in contact with anything else, one will be able to see it in that perspective. Otherwise not. Otherwise, how will one will see? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Many times you check, you see those who the modern considerations are so important in their life, then you'll see actually that's all they read. That's why they talk about it. The people always talk about political correctness and the yukta vairagya of using this modern and that, because that's all they read. You know, it actually is a fact. So that's the point. Whatever you're absorbing your mind in, that's what you're going to talk about. That's just going to absorb yourself. So that's why then sense is whatever you think of at death, you're going to, at death, think of that which is comfortable, which you take shelter in. Does that make sense? So what you read is what you take shelter in. Does that make sense? Like that. So that's the idea then, what is being explained here. So now Gita is teaching here, this is the third point. Right? We've gone, simply by thinking of Krishna at the time of death, one can enter the spiritual kingdom. Right? So that's been established. Our thinking now absorbed in the material energy must be transferred to the spiritual energy. Therefore, we have to practice remembrance of the Lord by chanting His names, which are non-different from Him, and molding our life's activities in such a way that we can remember Him always. Right? Then see, Bhagavad Gita teaches, then first here is, how to absorb the mind and intelligence of thoughts of the Lord. If the intelligence of the mind are always engaged in thoughts of the Supreme Lord, then naturally the senses are also engaged in the service. This practice is the process of devotional service. One must learn this process by rendering service to and inquiring submissively from a self-realized soul. So now it's being practical, because this is the this is your process section. So now it's being given how it can practically be applied. So you remember Krishna by always absorbing oneself in the name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Right? So that's done by association of devotees and by reading the Vedic literatures. Anadi Bahir Mudha Jiva Krishna Bhuti Gela Ata Eva Krishna Veda Purana Karila. The forgetful living entities, that's from Madhya Lila. The forgetful living entities or conditioned souls have forgotten their relationship with the Supreme Lord, and they are engrossed in thinking of material activities. Just to transfer their thinking power to the spiritual capacity, Krishna Dwaipayana Vyas has given a great number of Vedic literatures. First, he divided the Veda into four. Then he explained them by the Puranas. And for incapable people, he wrote the Mahabharata. In the Mahabharata, there is given the Bhagavad Gita. Then all Vedic literature is summarized in the Vedanta Sutra. And for future guidance, he gave a natural commentation on the Vedanta Sutra called Srimad Bhagavatam. Vasyo yam brahma sutranam. We must always engage our minds in reading these Vedic literatures. Sada tad bhava bhavita. Just as materialists engage their minds in reading newspapers, magazines, and so many materialistic literatures, we must transfer our reading to these literatures, which are very kindly given to us by Vyasadeva. In that way, it will be possible for us to remember the Supreme Lord at the time of death. That is the only way suggested by the Lord. Not suggested, it is a fact. And he guarantees the result, there is no doubt. The Lord suggests, therefore, tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudyacha. Mai arpita mano buddhir mam evaishyasya asamshaya. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna, and at the same time continue your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me, and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. He does not advise Arjuna simply to remember him and give up his present occupational duty. No, the Lord never suggests anything impractical. In this material world, in order to maintain the body, one has to work. Human society is divided, according to work, into four divisions of social order: Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. The Brahmana class, or intelligent class, is working in one way. The Kshatriya, or administrative class, is working in another way. And the mercantile class and the laborers are all tending to their specific duties. In the human society, either one is a laborer, merchant, administrator, or farmer, or even if one belongs to the highest caste and is a literary man, a scientist, or a theologian, he has to work in order to maintain his existence. The Lord therefore tells Arjuna that he need not give up his occupation, but while he is engaged in his occupation, he should remember Krishna, mam anusmara. That will help you in remembering me at the time of death. If he doesn't practice remembering Krishna while he is struggling for existence, then it will not be possible for him to remember Krishna at the time of death. Right? It means, there's this point, he's struggling for existence, so day-to-day life is a struggle. You're always having to work through something, some physical thing, emotional, intellectual, you know, economic, social, so many different things one's trying to work through. So if one is not practicing remembering Krishna there, how is one going to remember Krishna when things get more tough? Right? If one is being so quote-unquote practical now, because you're busy doing the needful, that you can't spend time for Krishna, then why would you be able to distract yourself from the business at hand, meaning dying, you know, to remember Krishna? You understand? You don't understand. Yeah, okay. That's okay. So, you understand? Yeah, because it was slower than more meditators. Caught the subtlety. Right? Right. So the Lord is suggesting, but the devotee is saying it's a fact. Because it is. It's a fact. But Krishna suggests, because the living entity, his, the whole point is he voluntarily takes up Krishna consciousness. He practices Krishna consciousness voluntarily. It's not a matter of force. If it's force, then what's the taste? Right? There's no taste. So, because God already is in charge, so he doesn't need a whole bunch of, you know, little 1/10,000 the tip of the hairs to make him feel good about himself. Right? That's not important. So, therefore, he simply suggests, you take it up, you'll be benefited. You don't take it up, you won't be benefited. You know, that's all. It's just like, you're eating the meal, you're not insecure, right? You're not the kind of person when you sit down to lunch with your friends, and then you order this, and then they order something different, and it's kind of like, why do you order that? You know, is it better than what I ordered, or is mine better and you're an idiot? You know, and if you're an idiot, why am I sitting at this table with you? You know, and if not, then why did I order this? You know, why shouldn't I be ordering that? You know, and it's like, you know, that all kinds of standard stuff that happens over lunches in, you know, the Western countries. So, well, at least I especially noticed it in New York, at least somehow or another. There's like, you know, why are you ordering that? Who orders that? You know, it's a funny thing, though. Everybody's, you know, their selves, does whatever they want, but at the same time, as they really got to fit in. You know, it's like, you know. So there's, if you're comfortable, you like it. You couldn't care less if anyone else likes it or not. Then, if somebody's not sure, you can say, "Yeah, you can try that. That's nice." You know, and if they try it, great. If they don't try it, hey, you're enjoying it. You understand? So Krishna's not insecure. Therefore, he suggests, Right? By us taking up God consciousness, that doesn't make him into God or make him feel better as God. He already is God. Right? That's just the way it is. Does that make sense? Okay, and so now this present occupational duty, the practical thing is the jiva must be active. He can't actually sit down and do nothing, right? Only Krishna can do that. But he doesn't do that, but he's the only one that can. The jivas are active. They must be, so Satchitananda, they must be active, right? Because they're Krishna Satchitananda, but he's the origin, right? So he can be active or not because he's complete, he's the complete whole. Well, the jivas, though complete individuals in themselves, are dependent. So dependency means activity. Because if you're dependent, it means you have to make that connection. You always have to be working for that connection. If you're independent, there's no need of a connection. You don't have to work for it. Right? If you want there to be a connection, then you work for it. Does that make sense? And if you don't, you don't. So you have the option. But for energy, it doesn't have the option. It's dependent. So it must endeavor to make that connection. Does that make sense? That will give the, generate the security. So that would mean it's impractical to give up one's occupational duty. Right? Like that. That's the thing. So here, the present occupational duty. Present means it's present because that is what is necessary for your conditioned nature at this stage. Right? In the future, you're more advanced, and it's not required, but in the future, you're more advanced. So when that future comes to now, then it's present. And so that will be your occupation, being not so involved. You understand? So present means dealing with the moment, the present, right now, what actually works for you in your conditioned nature, or your state of consciousness. That's what must be done. That can't be given up. Right? Because if it's given up, then what's to connect you? Right? What is to connect you? What are you going to work through? What are you going to work with? Right? Because just sitting and doing nothing is not an option. Right? So, since it meant before that the whole process is to develop the relationship with the Lord. Right? Very simple. That's the only thing. The forgetful living entities or conditioned souls have forgotten their relationship with the Supreme Lord. And they are engrossed in thinking of material activity. So that's what's going on here. That's all that's going on. We make it into something. We make our forgetfulness of Krishna into something important. Right? We make it into that this is, my forgetfulness of Krishna is so special and unique. So I should be recognized for it. Right? You know, I should get an award for how well I forgot about Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? You know, therefore then, you know, at the Rotary meeting, they all stand up and clap and cheer as this guy gets up and tells, you know, how he's, you know, there and he's fighting and that's why, you know, he got to the top and all these kind of things, you know. So he's recognized for how forgetful he is. Is there an award for this guy remembered God? Right? Occasionally they give to somebody, they become canonized, okay, you know, they become a saint. You know, I think Mother Teresa was the last one, I think. Or no, I think someone since then also, but whatever. You know, so then, okay, so how many are there? A handful. So, and you have to do that kind of work. Right? You can't be involved in anything that anybody else does, right? No one's been canonized who is just a normal guy. Right? And I think there may have been one or two kings, but other than that, then, you know what I'm saying? So, but here, the Vedic system is whatever you are doing at present, that's what you can do. So you can remember the Lord through that occupation, through whatever you're doing at any moment. Because the present needs, present occupational duty is broader than just, what do I do at work? What do I do to make my money? The present is, what's your present occupational duty when you come home? You know, when you're brushing your teeth, when you're chanting your rounds, what is your occupational duty? Right? You understand? That you must be doing. That can't be given up. Because its purpose is that whatever you're doing, that is important to you. Right? Because your conditioned nature is important to us. We think, whatever my conditioned nature, that's me. So we identify with it. The values of it are important. Even when we say we're not the body, I don't hear anybody going saying we're not the mind, or we're not the intelligence. Right? We're not this social status. Right? We don't say, we just say, oh, we're not the body, Prabhu. Right? Does that make sense? It's like, the thing on the women's lib is, it's we're not the body. But the body is a gross manifestation of the subtle body. So, but the women aren't saying, we're not this subtle body. We're not this mind, Prabhu. We're not these, you know, emotions, Prabhu. They're not saying that. No, that's what's glorified. That's what's, you know, brought to the front. You know, GBC, just a bunch of, you know, hard-nosed and sensitive men. You need a few women there to soften it up, bring in the human element, you know, bring out some real social development in society, right? So what's that? Mind. So what we're saying is that, therefore, if you're not engaging everything, then it lessens your chance of thinking of Krishna at the time of death. Because if you can't think of Krishna when things get tough here, right? This guy said this, you know, and annoys you, or you know, slipped and sprained your ankle, and so you can't think of Krishna, or you got a fever now and you can't think of Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So what if you add all those things together and a few more, and it's called leaving your body? Then what are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? So that's why it has to be practiced now. Does that make sense? It has to be practiced now. Okay. So that's what he says. That will help you remembering me at the time of death, because you've engaged your activities in the Lord's service, your thoughts, your intelligence in the Lord's service. So that means that at the time of death, whatever you've done, that's what you're going to remember. You know what I'm saying? Like that. If he doesn't practice remembering Krishna while he's struggling for existence, then it will not be possible for him to remember Krishna at the time of death. So he probably doesn't say it won't. He says it's not. Right? And you see, most of the time in here, Prabhupada uses very, you know, what is it called? You know, definitive, what do you call that?
Direct.
Yeah, direct or but what's that? Imperative. Yeah. It's just, you know, this is the way it is. He says that it's a fact. It's just the way it is. It's not different from this. It just has to be accepted. We can say, well, it's not exactly like that, or, you know, you want to soften it a bit. No. The point is that it can be presented in a very nice way for you, but you can't change what you're discussing. You know what I'm saying? If we say, oh, it shouldn't be presented so boldly or strongly, but that doesn't mean that you change the facts. You understand? It's still just as direct. It's nicely said. Just like in the scripture, it says socially that it says that the wife speaks sweetly. It doesn't say that what she says has to be sweet. You understand? It just says that whatever she wants to say, it has to be said in a nice tone of voice. Because then it won't bring out the masculine ego, and he'll stop listening just because he thinks he's the man, and you can't talk like that. Right? So in other words, you always speak nice. You know? But it doesn't change what you're saying. Does that make sense? So you can use the same words and just use a soft tone of voice. Or you can soften the words, but you make the same point. So we see that Prabhupada, no matter who he was talking to, he didn't change the point. He may, instead of saying Krishna this and that, he'll say God. He's speaking in a general audience. You have to become God conscious. That you can say to anybody. Any variety of spiritualist or religionist. Right? So he won't change that. He won't soften. So it's very important to note that, because the Western dynamic generally is if you soften the presentation, means you compromise it. But the Vedic is, there's no compromise. You just say it more pleasantly. Right? So here, it's worked in. It's being presented very pleasantly. But it's very absolute. You know, it says, if he doesn't practice remembering Krishna while he's struggling for existence, then it will not be possible for him to remember Krishna at the time of death. Just very blunt. It's not like, well, I don't know. It's very confusing. No, it's very obvious. Right? Right. You absorb yourself in the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord in the association of devotees in whatever you're doing with your body, mind, and words. Finish. Simple. Now it's just a matter of, then Gita gives so many techniques for understanding that and for applying that. But otherwise, the point that it's making is very simple. Lord Chaitanya also advises this. Right? So Krishna's advised it. Now, Krishna suggests it. Lord Chaitanya advises it. Right? He says, Kirtaniya Siddhahari. One should practice chanting the names of Lord Krishna always. The names of the Lord and the Lord are non-different. So Lord Krishna's instructions to Arjuna to, quote, remember me, and Lord Chaitanya's instruction to always chant the holy names of Lord Krishna are the same instruction. There is no difference because Krishna and Krishna's name are non-different. In the absolute status, there is no difference between one thing or another. That is the absolute status. So the Lord being absolute, there is no difference between his name and himself. Therefore, we have to practice remembering the Lord always, 24 hours a day, by chanting his names and molding our life's activities in such a way that we can remember him always. How is this possible? Right? So he says, molding our life's activities in such a way. So molding means you don't change it, like you start off with clay and you mold it. It's not that when you finish, it's not clay anymore. But you've made the clay into something useful. Otherwise, it's just a blob of clay. So you have an occupation, you have a family, right? So then it's like clay. You have to mold it into something that will actually be able to be connected to Krishna, right? It can be. Why is it not? It's because we've molded it in the way that it doesn't make us remember Krishna, right? Does that make sense? We have our living room. Why is the living room the way we want, right? It's got to be practical. It's got to look nice. Right? It's got to be comfortable. Okay. So, what is one's criteria? What is aesthetic? What is beautiful? Right? That definition can be connected to the Lord. If it's connected, then the aesthetics of your room will be connected to the Lord. You want it to be comfortable. Then, if comfort is not in connection with the Lord, then that's not going to be reflected in what's there. Practical. What's practical? Define practical. So if that practicality is not in connection with the Lord, then the practicality of your living room won't have anything to do with the Lord. But it will be based on these kind of things. You know, whatever it is that you want to do. You know, it's the room where you don't do much and the other rooms are more important, so all the good furniture went in the other rooms, or there's too much furniture and so whatever is left over goes into there, or, you know what I'm saying? So then it's whatever is your value, that's what's going to happen there. Understand? That's the point. Is we can say, just be practical. It's just, you know, we have friends over. They got to sit. You know, we can't sit them on the floor. You know, this and that. But what's your point? Your point is to make karmi friends comfortable. That's all. You know, that's the only consideration. Where does Krishna come into it? Why do you want to make your karmi friends comfortable? But for what reason? Is there a rule? Make your karmi friends comfortable? Is that, you know, a strict rule? You know what I'm saying? Why would you do that? Right? Because you're supposed to take care of guests. Because taking care of guests is part of the Vedic culture. You know what I'm saying? Some people, they never have guests. Like that. It's not part of their culture. Prabhupada's father would go out of his way to make sure every day he had guests. It was one of the duties of the grihastha, to take care of guests. Right? So the concept of guest, that comes from God. So how are we connecting that? Why are we trying to make them comfortable? And so therefore, are the karmi friends the only friends? No one else comes over the house? So you have to see that whatever is your range of people, you have to have facility for them. You know what I'm saying? Can I? Why, beauty. What is beauty? So picture of Krishna on the wall. Krishna's not beautiful. So if you have a picture there, that's beautiful or not? You know what I'm saying? How do you define these things? Whatever it is you do in your life, what values you have, how do you define them? Are they connected to Krishna? Because Krishna in the second canto of Bhagavatam makes it very clear that whatever you see of value, that's Him. You may not recognize it as that. Oh, we just have to have a comfortable, you know, we're out in the side world and it's so intense. We have to be able to come back and relax, otherwise we won't be able to, you know, do our duties, take care of the family, absorb ourselves in the sadhana. Great. But that value of being able to relax, that your house is a place where you feel secure, that security is Krishna. That security you feel, that's Krishna. That in the house, relaxed, that's Krishna. Not something else. Not somebody else. Right? Like that. Does that make sense? You understand? So this has to be recognized. So that's what Krishna is giving here, is that therefore, because it's absolute, if you see your life in connection with Krishna, then it becomes absolute also. Everything becomes absolute. But it has to be actually done. We have to make that endeavor. That's why Krishna is saying it's practical to do something, because you'll do something anyway. If you don't do something for Krishna, you do something not for Krishna. But in any case, whatever you do, Krishna is still involved. Right? Because we're not doing it. Paramatma is arranging through the material energy that it happens. So it's the Lord and His energies anyway. So now you want to go through this whole process and not recognize God? You know what I'm saying? We're doing the physical activity. That's been sanctioned by the Lord. That physical activity is there because the modes of nature allow us to. That's being controlled by Maya Devi. She has gotten the nod from Paramatma that it's allowed to happen. So why can't they be involved in the action? They're already involved. So our recognizing, that means you were conscious. Difficulty is we don't like to be conscious. It hurts. Right? You understand? The brain is a muscle. You don't use it. It hurts when you use it. So therefore, you know, the more we start using it, the less it hurts. Right? Right? The more we're happy. Yes? Right. How is this possible? Yes, it is possible. The Charyas give the following example. If a married woman is attached to another man, or if a man has an attachment for a woman other than his wife, then the attachment is to be considered very strong. One with such an attachment is always thinking of the loved one. The wife who is thinking of her lover is always thinking of meeting him, even while she is carrying out her household chores. In fact, she carries out her household work even more carefully so her husband will not suspect her attachment. Similarly, we should always remember the Supreme Husband, Sri Krishna, and at the same time perform our material duties very nicely. A strong sense of love is required here. If we have a strong sense of love for the Supreme Lord, then we can discharge our duty and at the same time remember Him. So, we have to develop that sense of love. Arjuna, for instance, was always thinking of Krishna. Oh, we're over the time. Okay. So this, we'll come back to this on Monday. But the basic point is that if we have an attachment to something, we can think of it always, no matter what we're doing. So if our attachment is to Krishna, we can always remember him. So to say it's not practical means we're not very attached. That's all. That's the basic point that's being made. So Krishna said, so we have to develop that sense of love. So that's done through practice. Okay, so we'll take that up again on today's what, Friday? On Monday.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jayanitai Gaur Premanandi.